Hello everyone, welcome to Hope Singapore and welcome to Hope Global. The focus for 2026 is the Jesus way. With this focus, God reminds us of two critical things. Firstly, be reminded of God's vision and mission for our movement. You see, our movement was birthed out of the vision to fulfill the Great Commission. Our mission, what we do to fulfill the vision, is love neighbors, make disciples, plant life groups, or plant churches. Next, we are to be reminded of the fundamentals. Mastering the fundamentals is one necessary key to keep us strong and to finish well in our Christian walk. Last week, we learned from a leader who did not finish well. This week, we will glean from one who did finish well. Let's turn our attention to Joshua. Let me give us a brief introduction to Joshua. Joshua started serving as Moses' aide. He was with Moses on Mount Sinai when Moses received the tablets. He was also with Moses in the tent of meeting when God spoke with Moses face to face. Now, together with Caleb, Joshua was one of the two spies who gave a faith-filled report about the Promised Land. After Moses' death, Joshua succeeded as Israel's number one leader. Joshua then led Israel across the Jordan and conquered six nations and 31 kings over many years. Now, let's read some verses to get a further glimpse of Joshua's life. In Numbers chapter 32, Moses spoke to the people about the 10 spies who responded in fear and unbelief, and how this affected generations of Israelites who died in the wilderness. Now let's look at Numbers 32, verses 11 and 12. Let me read for us. Listen to the reading of God's word. Moses said, "Because they have not followed me wholeheartedly, not one of those who were 20 years old or more when they came up out of Egypt will see the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not one except Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, and Joshua, son of Nun, for they followed the Lord wholeheartedly." And then in Joshua chapter 24, this is how the Bible described Joshua after his passing. Joshua 24, verse 31. Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had experienced everything the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua died at 110 years old. He was remembered as one who followed God wholeheartedly and faithfully led Israel to serve God throughout his lifetime. Joshua started well, ran well, and finished well. Now today, let's do a character study on Joshua. While this may not be comprehensive, allow me to pull out three characteristics that enable Joshua to finish well. Title for today's sermon, Joshua, One Who Finished Well. Firstly, surrender our pride. We can learn this from Joshua chapter 5. Now, before we read the verses, let me give us the context. At this point in Joshua chapter 5, Joshua had just led the people to cross the Jordan River. It was an only God moment. It was so powerful that Israel's enemy heard about it and they melted with fear. If I were Joshua, after crossing the Jordan River, I would not have stopped. I would ride on the momentum and finish off the enemies. Strike the iron while it's hot. But God's ways are different from ours. God led the people differently to how we would have done so. In fact, I submit to you that it is here in Joshua 5 that the war in the promised land was won. From chapter 5 onwards, the Israelites had many victories, but it is here in chapter 5 that was the turning point of the whole war. It was here in chapter 5 that the victory was won. It was here in chapter 5 where the crux of victory lies. For the past few paragraphs, I've just read to you from the text of my first sermon as senior pastor of Hope Singapore. That was a sermon that formed the foundations of my life and our church. Now, let's read Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 to 15 together. Let's read together wherever you are watching this content. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. The Bible says, "Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked," what did he say? "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. You see, Joshua saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. He went up to him and he asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" In verse 14, the commander of the Lord's army answered, "Neither." In other words, you have asked the wrong question. The right question is not if God is for us or not. Rather, the right question should be, are we following God or not? And then in verse 15, the commander ordered Joshua, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." Surrounded by God's holy presence, Joshua removed his sandals in surrender and waited for God to speak. To finish well, we must start on the right footing. How do we do that? We start with surrender. We surrender our lives to God. We surrender our pride to God. "Not my will, but yours be done." The irony of life is this: it is in surrender that we find freedom. And Joshua, or Jesus, thought this in Matthew chapter 10. He said in verse 39, Jesus said, "Whoever finds their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for my sake," said Jesus, "will find it." Surrendering to God is not a one-off decision. It is something that we do on an ongoing basis. The longer we walk with God, the more intentional we must be in surrendering to Him. Now, the truth be told is that surrender cannot become a familiar concept that we merely give a mental assent or verbal agreement to. Surrender must be lived out in our lives. One of two things will happen. Either our theology conforms to our reality, or our reality conforms to our theology. We get to choose, and we must choose the way of surrender. Andrew Murray once said, "God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to Him." Now, I know that I've spoken on the posture of surrender and humility in many settings. And the reason I've done so is because this is such an important truth that we need to learn and relearn. James chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible tells us that God opposes the proud, but God shows favor to the humble. In other version, the Bible is translated as saying this: God opposes the proud, but God gives grace to the humble. Now, why is Joshua able to finish well? Firstly, he surrendered his pride. Next, he obeyed God without delay. Moving on to Joshua chapter 6, the Bible recorded Israel's first victory in the promised land. Here, God gave the Israelites clear instruction on how to take Jericho City. Now, let's check out those instructions in Joshua chapter 6, verses 2 through to 5. In verse 2, the Bible says, "Then the Lord said to Joshua," this is the instruction given, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, and with the priests blowing the trumpet." Verse 5, "When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpet, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." Now, even I, a pesky night, everyday book out, stay home, excuse pull up, excuse SOC soldier, knows that this is not a good military strategy. Marching and musical instruments and shouting may be good for National Day parade, but it is definitely not a good strategy for war. But how did Joshua respond? Well, Joshua obeyed without delay. In verse 6, the very next verse after getting instructions from God, the Bible says, "So Joshua," he heard from God, the Bible says, "So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, 'Take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carrying trumpets in front of it.' And he ordered the army, 'Advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord.'" Joshua heard God, but more importantly, he obeyed God. Despite how he or the people around him may think, Joshua chose to obey God. In our church, we have around 600 children. I've observed how Hope Kids teacher would affirm the children. Now, instead of just praising them for their looks or their dressing alone, more importantly, they would also affirm them for their good behavior. So it's not just, "Oh, so cute, so handsome, so pretty" alone, but more importantly, so obedient. Why do we do that? Well, we do that because God values obedience. Now, similarly, as children of God, from 9 months to 99 years old and everything in between, God esteems obedience. Jesus taught us, John 14, verse 15. Can I invite all of us to read this one verse together? Loud and clear, please. Jesus said, "If you love me, what do? Keep my commands." 6 verses down, verse 21, Jesus said, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them," obeys them, "is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." The one who loves me, Jesus said, will be loved by my Father, and I, Jesus, too, will love them. And then he said this, show myself to them. Jesus will reveal himself to them. Jesus will make himself real to those who obey God. If you desire Jesus to be so very real in your life, what do? Obey him. Now, allow me to be a little bit more pointed today. On the area of finances, are we obeying God in faithful tithing and generous giving? Is God our master or is money our master? You see, at the end of the day, it's not about dollars and cents. It's about obeying God and trusting God for his providence. How about the area of sexuality? If we are married, are we keeping our marriage beds pure? Hebrews 13 verse 4. The Bible says it quite clearly. Marriage should be honored by all. And the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. If we are not married, do we keep ourselves sexually pure? Do we follow God's way or do we yield to worldly ways? As I've shared on the first weekend of 2026, we need to continue to learn, unlearn, and relearn the fundamentals of the Christian faith. What are some of these fundamentals? Well, some of them will be things like obedience, trust, surrender, submission, faith, sacrifice, humility, teachability, love, forgiveness, integrity, followership, and holiness. God is speaking to me as much as he's also speaking to you. Obedience is not optional. It's fundamental. And we never outgrow obedience. Why is Joshua able to finish well? Firstly, he surrendered his pride. Next, he obeyed without delay. Lastly, he walked with God. We have looked at Joshua 5 and Joshua 6, the beginning of Joshua's role as the leader of God's people. Now, let's move to Joshua chapter 24. Here, Joshua was an old man, and he gave his farewell speech to the people of Israel. Here, Joshua drew a line in the sand and he challenged the people to make a choice. Now, let's listen in. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. Joshua said, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestor worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord." Verse 15, "And if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living." But, he said this, "as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, Joshua said. "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." We will walk with God. We have chosen to walk in God's ways. You see, choosing God is a daily decision we make. Our life is the fabric of our daily choices. Our character is the sum total of our habits. And I believe that Joshua was able to lead Israel into the promised land and still choose to serve God at the end of his life because of his deep, intimate relationship with him. In other words, I believe that Joshua is able to start well, run well, and finish well because of his relationship with God. Now, let's go to the starting point of his life when Joshua was a much younger person serving as Moses' aide. Exodus 33:11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to camp. But, the Bible says, his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. The Bible didn't explicitly state why Joshua stayed back even after Moses had left. Why do you think Joshua stayed back? Back up after Moses? Take selfie? From the fact that God chose Joshua to succeed Moses, it is not far-fetched to guess that Joshua stayed back because he had this uncommon hunger for God's presence. Joshua had an insatiable appetite for spiritual things. How do we keep and grow our hunger for God? One way is to start our day with God. Let me remind us of the importance of our daily time with God. It is not sexy, but it is crucial for our walk with God. In her groundbreaking book, Grit, Angela Duckworth makes this observation. She said, "We prefer mystery to mundanity. When others seem more successful than us, it's tempting to assume that they won the talent lottery or the luck lottery." That assumption is comforting. You know why? Because it allows us to preserve the status quo without changing ourselves. And Duckworth further puts it, "We prefer our excellence fully formed." The truth is that excellence has no cheat code. In the same way, spiritual maturity is not a mystery. It is mundanity. Walking with God is doing small things as if they matter greatly. Walking with God is choosing what is right day after day. Persist in this long enough, and in time, you will possess the promised land. Spend time with God daily. Read our Bible. Pray. Repent. Pastor Lauren Chua, the senior pastor of Living Sanctuary Brethren Church, was sharing with Pastor Claudia and I how his children and him developed this love and commitment to God's word. He told us that when his children were young, he would ask them to read their Bible daily. And then the children would reply that they did not understand what they were reading. Pastor Lawrence then told them that it is okay. He shared to his children that when he started to read the Bible, half the time he also did not understand what he was reading. The other half of the time, he misunderstood what he was reading. But here's the secret sauce. He did not give up. He kept reading, and today he understands the Bible better, but more importantly, he walks closely with God. Spend time with God and read your Bible daily. I want to also ask each of us to be committed to service and life group. One of the ways of walking with God is to walk with the people that God has placed in our lives. Let's not neglect the discipline of assembly. It will serve us well. My heart cry, as I said in part one, and I'm saying it again, is for every one of us, to start well, to run well, and to finish well. In 1999, Adidas released an advertisement celebrating Wakapapa. It's the Maori idea of lineage and inheritance. The ad opens with the oldest living member of the All Blacks, New Zealand's iconic rugby team. At that time, former All Blacks captain Charlie Sexton was 86 years old. He pulls on his old jersey, and in the story, he's reimagined as Fred Allen, the captain and coach who succeeded him, one by one, in chronological order. Different jerseys appeared, tracing a legacy of leadership across generations. Let's watch that video together. The legacy is more intimidating than the opposition. As one All Black puts it, you don't own the jersey. You're just the body in the jersey at that time. Why is it important that we finish well? First and foremost, we long to hear the accolades. Well done, good and faithful servant. But more than that, we want to be faithful with the spiritual legacy that we have received from God and pass it on to the future generations. We steward it well and we pass it on. We want to finish well, not only for our own sake, but also for the people around us, our families, our children, our life groups, our church, and the different individuals that God has placed in our spheres of influence. So let's start well, run well, and finish well.